Happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath.
I'm going to start with this question. You know, I always have to start my sermons off with very particular, I don't know how to say this, the routine of my sermons. I even did it for the Youth Week of Prayer when I had a very particular topic, and I still did this routine. What's the first thing I normally do? Definitions. So let's do this definition. What's a definition of a language? Anyone have a definition? Way to communicate. That's the broadest way to put it. Do you have a more a concise version of that? I'm actually going to use that one, but a more concise version of it. Expression. Spoken words. Cambridge Dictionary, a system of communication by speaking, writing, making signs in a way that can be understood, or any of the different systems of communication used in particular regions. Cambridge Dictionary also says, language is also a particular type of expression. Dictionary.com, the sixth definition says, a means of communication used by animals. Sure. Are there any other types of communication besides writing or speaking? Body language. Webster Dictionary, which also goes into sign language as well. Gestures, movements, and mannerisms by which a person or animal communicates with others. Are there any other types of languages out there? Said sign language. Emojis. Guess. Okay, I'll leave that question there. I was looking for a very particular answer, but I guess there's no programmers in the house. So, programming languages. That's for anyone who wanted the gold star at the end of that. Yes. And so, the way I'm going to start this, the reason I want to start with the definition is, since it's the afternoon, some of us, it's now, an hour into the service, I want you to take the opportunity to go to the person to your left and right and front or behind and try to greet them in a different language in the broader sense. If you know ASL, that'd be awesome, by the way. Maggie? That got lost in translation. What? I did the handshake. I did the handshake. That's all good. So I'm only a one language person right now. Okay, how many of you were greeted in English? Oh, wow. If everyone is greeted in a different language, that'd be awesome.
With a hug.
With a hug. With some sort of body language of sorts. Handshakes, that's included there. How many of you were greeted in a different, spoken language? A nice chunk of us. That's awesome. And so, I hope that the way that we've communicated with each other was, or the way that we know that we're greeting each other wasn't lost in any way, the meaning of that. And so to start the sermon off, I want to also continue with a word of prayer. So please bow your heads with me as we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you once again for this opportunity, Lord. It's a beautiful Sabbath day. It's a wonderful afternoon, Lord. We're all gathered here together in your church, Lord. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak, Lord. But we know that the words that I'm about to speak are not my words, Lord, but they're yours alone, Lord. We know that we're going to continue to have this message to be shared amongst each and every one of us. We know that the words, the messages here, Lord, I hope that they are going to continue to go to each and every person here in the congregation and not be lost in any way, Lord. Please be with me. Please be with the congregation. Also, those who are going to be listening through either a recorded version of the sermon or any other way, if it's a shared message at all, continue to be with them as well. In your wonderful name that we pray. Amen. So, Actually, this is the weird part. Normally, when I have a sermon, there would normally be something up there that you would read. So this is a different thing for me. I think my first couple sermons, I didn't have that. Now this is a bit different. So if I attempt to point there and there's nothing there, just ignore that body language at all. The title of the sermon is Getting Lost in Translation. Normally, you know I'm running out of different material if I'm now going to idioms and figures of speech now at this point. What is the definition, what is the literal, when you're speaking about that phrase literally, what does that mean? Getting lost in translation. Besides it being a movie and from 2003, I've never watched it anyway. What would the literal? The meaning was lost. What meaning? The intended meaning. When does that usually happen? Literally. When you're misunderstanding. When you're thinking about translations, we are thinking about what? Think back to the word I asked the definition for earlier. From one language to another. Let's think of some examples of where that is going to cause issues, literally. How many of us are bilingual? There's a lot of us here. How many of us, even if you aren't bilingual, have attempted to learn a language by reading a dictionary? Yeah, you too. That doesn't normally work. Normally because they attempted to, force us to read this dictionary for the Filipino dictionary for, months. Reading a dictionary doesn't tell you how the structure of sentences, and no, that doesn't work. Also, there are many languages where if you have a particular word and you try to translate it to English, there is no one-to-one translation of said word. Also, when you are saying certain phrases in one language and you're trying to directly translate that into another language, if you try to go back to the original language, it sort of doesn't make sense. In high school, I'm just going to admit it. I've complained about how in college, calculus was sort of the bane in my existence at that point. In high school, that was actually Spanish. How do you say, are you hungry in Spanish?
Tienes hambre.
Tienes hambre. If I directly translated that back to English, what does that mean? Wow, I have a lot of different responses. Have you hunger?
Yeah.
Right. If you're literally translating it, now you have your conjugations. Oh, and I'm thinking back to high school. That's a really fun thing to think about right now. Sometimes we have phrases that if you translate it one way, you translate the phrase one way, and coming backwards, it doesn't come back the right way. Normally when I do my sermons, I'm talking about the literal sense before I talk about any of the fun sense. So let's think about where that causes issues in our spiritual walk. What is one thing that we have to translate in when we're thinking spiritually of growing?
The Bible.
Lorelei, which version of the Bible did we read for the scripture reading? I don't remember that exact version. Actually, let's do this. Let's open Philippians 4, chapter 4, verse 13. When you open it up, please say amen. If you have another Bible that's not the Pew Bible, please open that up. New Living Translation was what we read for the scripture reading. I'll read a different translation later on. Philippians 4, 13. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. When you have it, please say amen.
Amen.
I'm going to wait for a couple more people to get that open. Now I feel like I'm speaking a lecture, and I'm thinking all this fun stuff back to high school. Do we have anyone with a New International Version Bible? Please read Philippians 4:13. Celso, get that open. Philippians 4:13.
I am able
we have anyone with the King James Version? Not the New King James Version, the King James Version. Precious. These read exactly as it says in the Bible. Strengtheneth. Note that. New King James Version. This is the Pew Bible. Okay, so we shortened one word there. Do we have any other translations? Do we have New Living Translation? Which version do you have? So we could see just with one sentence, we have a bunch of different translations. Now, what type of translation are they doing? Are they doing a word-for-word translation? Are they doing a thought-for-thought translation? Are they doing a mix of the two translations? I have the Amplified Version here. I think it's a special expanded version of the American Standard, which says, I can do all things which he has called me to do through him who strengthens and empowers me to fulfill his promise. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. I'm ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses me with inner strength and confident peace. Now I expanded it to like three different sentences. Amplified. So that it's an amplified version of the verse. Once again, I want to get through this part easy because the literal is harder to explain than anything, literally anything else. When we do our studies or doing our lessons, sometimes the messages that we speak get sort of lost in translation literally because we are using different versions of the Bible. We know that the Bible was originally written in a language that was not originally English. And so we get, when we translate that into English, depending on how that was translated into English, that literally gets lost in translation. And so what I usually recommend, because our quarterlies do it, they usually pick verses and they tell you what version of the Bible that verse is actually coming from or where the story is coming from, the way they're actually quoting it from the Bible. So I encourage you, when you're doing your studies or you're doing a Bible study or teaching others, that you are actually using different versions of the Bible to give different perspectives. The Pew Bible uses the New King James Version, which is just sort of a modernized version of the King James Version. And I know there's a bunch of different debates about what version of the Bible to use. So I encourage you to do your research and actually being able to figure out what translation actually links back more closely to the original version. But also it's nice to get different perspectives as well because it's a different thought process. We all, sometimes when I read the Bible, reading it several times over, I get a different meaning or a different message out of that. And also the thought that everyone else can get something different out of a verse is definitely a blessing as well. So now that I got over the whole literal sense of getting lost in translation, let's get into the more like mind-tingling one, although usually education and like languages actually get your brain turning there as well. When you are saying something, if I were to tell you one sentence, or if I told you one word, what meaning does it have to you? If I said the word food, what meaning does it have to you? If I told you, hey Edwin, food, what are you thinking? Eating. He's thinking about eating. What did you say? Now he's asking if I'm hungry. What is a word or sentence without context? Sometimes when we are saying things, we have a lack of context as to what is being spoken. Here's a verse from the Bible, Matthew 18, verse 20. I'm going to read that. You don't necessarily have to turn to your Bible just yet. It reads, "For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them." I believe that's NIV. What do you get out of that verse? What is the intention of that verse where it is right now? Some people say church. Does actually anyone actually know what the context of this verse is? So some think it's talking about prayer, and it may be talking about prayer. That is Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. So let's read back. Do you have it open, brother? Can you start from verse 15? Yes, please.
"Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you,
Okay. So what is this passage talking about? Conflict resolution. If I just told you that one verse by itself, would you have thought that? Does that also mean that this verse is invalid? So if I'm saying, where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them. Is any of us in conflict right now? I don't think any of us are in conflict. Does that mean God is not here? Definitely not. But sometimes when we say things or the messages that we are speaking, they have a lack of context to them. It says in 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. I continue to verse 17 there. Sometimes we commonly say that we should memorize different verses in the Bible, but what we should be actually doing is thinking about the references as a whole, the passages, because sometimes we learn things out of context. No, in the social environment or the internet, social media or politically, we always take things out of context. Let's think of another analogy here. How many of us are there any professional photographers and or hobbyist photographers? AKA, you have a camera that has an interchangeable lens. What happens if you underexpose an image, a picture? It's overly dark. If you overexpose an image, and what happens if an image is out of focus, actually? Okay, so, I don't have Winston help interpret this for me. Winston, what is this a picture of?
Dark.
Okay, dark. So if you can't see, it's mostly a black screen over here. What's a picture of now?
Too bright, a white wall.
Okay, so he sees a white wall. What actually happened is I was up in that corner taking a picture of the Sabbath school. Can you see that now? So it's Jimmy's class. Sometimes, even if we're not thinking about what we're talking about or what we're reading, other things need to have context to understand what is going on. If you're a professional photographer, you have a strategy or a technique called shallow depth of field. But in layman's terms, that means is that the thing in the center, the thing that you want people to focus on, is in focus, and everything behind it is out of focus. The thing in focus is what you should be paying attention on, and everything out of focus is sort of the context. If I could see that someone's in focus and they're smiling, that's great. And if you see in the background there's like fire and everything, and then your context is completely out of, I don't know where it is at that point. We have to take that into consideration when we're doing our studies, when we're doing our outreach, when we're doing our evangelism. Because sometimes when you are reaching out to people and telling them things and not putting it into context, or if you're not getting them any form of context, say you're going to someone random and you just go up to them and say, come to church, that's giving them no context. However, if you are doing it to a coworker or a friend, their context is knowing who you are. If you are the context, then that changes the meaning altogether. I've gone to several different cities around the country, pretty much, New York City or Los Angeles. You have people who have different types of strategies for evangelism. One of them is people who try to strike fear in that, say, everyone is going to hell. And so the message that they are speaking of, since you have absolutely no context besides what they're holding up, the context is on the poster board itself, you're not teaching the message in its correct context. Is God teaching absolute, like, I'm scared of you, fear? What is the gospel, the main message of the gospel? Love. I also have, if so that's just the wrong message being preached altogether. Sometimes in New York City, I pass by it every single day on my way to work, is that the message that Jesus is coming again. And that's it. That's it. Why is he coming again? What is the message there? We have mentioned it's already love, and we know that he's coming again for us. We know that. they're missing the message of hope. If I'm just yelling, Jesus is coming again, and that's not telling me anything. So sometimes you have to remember that the evangelism that we are speaking, or sometimes the messages, even our Bible studies, need to have context. So what if we have context? Or what if you're going with this default context that is there? What is the dangers of that? I'm going to give an analogy that probably isn't a very good one. And hopefully someone's paying attention. Gavin, red bottom. I feel like every time I give a sermon nowadays, I'm giving one extra microphone lesson, just because I know everyone takes up the microphones. How do you tell us that the microphone's not on? You hold it up. The best way to do that is to hold it up. I'm going to turn this off so I don't do what everyone else is doing. Please do not do this. For the sake of the AV team, do not tap on the microphone. One, we can't tell what microphone you're tapping. Two, if one of us has headphones on, you probably are, they're now probably trying to recover from, probably this is the loudest sound you can get out of a microphone, is that when you're actually really close to it, but the thing that actually gets closest to a microphone itself is if you put your hand over it. And also three, it also damages the equipment. So that there's your three little bits about the microphone. Now, why do I mention this? The reason I mention this is, where did we get the idea that we should tap on the microphone? Seeing everyone do it. Our context in that case is seeing what everyone else is doing. Sometimes in our social norms, sometimes the people we interact with, and sometimes the things that we see, whether it's on TV or other people doing it, that becomes the context. So when I am trying to understand something, I'm going to understand it based on what I know at that point. Anyone have used, maybe they've Googled something, what the Bible says about blank. Probably if you went on that, the website that you end up on, I believe is called openbible.info, and just as a note for anyone, anything on the internet is mostly biased. And so if you typed what the Bible says about the internet, that comes up, and then the first line, or the second line, I think, is that, turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give my life in your ways. We already know that the context is there. When you're reading something from the internet, reading something specifically, your context is now what that person believes. Also, if you go to that website and look up different countries, it just says John 3:16 in that regard as well. So the context is the person's perspective there. One of the most common things about daily discussions or discussions that we have with our coworkers, if you're doing one-on-one discussion with someone that you know and they know you, their context, or you're saying about a particular topic, their context is based on them knowing you. So how do you represent yourself? And how do you conform to the world? Sometimes our context becomes different because someone acts differently than everyone else. But let's first think about ourselves. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 and 16 says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Are we sometimes, our context with talking to other people, just it's conformed to the world. And then when people try to talk to us, their context is based on our context, was some other context, which shouldn't have been the context. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 8 reads, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Verse 7, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Verse 8, it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. What is our context sometimes? I already spoke about evangelism. You need to give some people context. But sometimes when you're speaking one-on-one to the person that you've been working with, sometimes we have coworkers that we have been working with for years, or students we have been roommates with or sitting with in different classes, and then their you have slowly grown over time, and then what they know about you is what you've sort of learned from other places. How are you presenting yourself? And this causes a very common word or phenomenon that's called misunderstanding. Sometimes, even if it's not about like what your like political background is or what your other thoughts are, people who have talked to me and I'm troubleshooting things, I'm going to speak to them. It's English, but it's computer talk. How many of you have heard me speak in computer talk in some capacity? A lot of us also know that I play the trombone. I haven't brought it in. Maybe I'll bring it in next week. Is I'm also a musician, and sometimes I will speak in music talk, but you haven't seen me in that context, and so your perspective of my music talk is not as fluent in that regard. Sometimes we sometimes have to think about ourselves. We have to think about other people and changing our context about them in different regards. So here's a question. How do you present yourself? Does that cause any misunderstandings? Does it cause sometimes the messages that you are speaking to get lost in translation? Is what you are trying to portray to other people getting lost in translation? For those who don't know, I've been in a part of a group, participating part of a group called ANU, for Campus Ministries. And we had a leadership planning summit. We had an icebreaker about, just tell you what your name is and what school you go to or what profession you're in. And then one thing that you would want to get rid of in the world. And one person, I think he was an elder at the time, came up with a really interesting answer. And most of us are saying about, like, oh, maybe if this one person was not here or if this concept wasn't here. Someone said, misunderstanding. And I thought about that. What would happen to the world if we can just get rid of misunderstandings? How many of our conflicts, or how many times have we misunderstood someone and there's different issues that arise after that? What would the world be without misunderstandings? Would things stop getting lost in translation? Just think about that. And that's actually what I'm going to close with. Once again, I'm going to actually read our scripture reading. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. I believe Lorelei read a different version, which just gives you two different perspectives for the same exact verse. Are the messages that we speak getting lost in translation in any way? And I'll close off with that. Who has the closing hymn? 373 is where our closing hymn is found.